It's September 2007. Welcome to the Student Press Law Center podcast. This monthly update of news affecting the legal rights of the student media is made possible by a generous grant from the Newspaper Association of America Foundation. The Student Press Law Center is a champion for student voices. Recognizing the essential roles freedom of speech and press play in a democratic society, the SPLC is committed to nurturing and protecting those freedoms for our next generation. More information about the center's work is available at www.splc.org. Hi, I'm Mike Heaston, legal consultant to the Student Press Law Center. Thanks for joining us. As our regular listeners or website visitors already know, in 1988, the U.S. Supreme Court significantly cut back on the First Amendment rights of most high school student journalists and working on school-sponsored student media. That infamous decision, Hazelwood School District versus Kollmeyer, has been devastating to many high school journalism programs around the country and has, among other things, resulted in a five-fold jump in the number of calls to the SPLC from students seeking legal help. Most of you also know that in 2005, the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, in its Hoste v. Carter decision, shocked the college press world when it ruled for the first time ever that the Hazelwood decision was also the starting point for college censorship cases. That ruling covers student media in Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, the three states that fall within the Seventh Circuit. What some of you might not know or fully understand is that in the nearly 20 years since Hazelwood was handed down and the now 2-plus years since the Hoste decision, some state lawmakers have taken notice of the erosion of federal First Amendment protection for student speech. They have decided enough is enough. This July, Oregon Governor Ted Kulongoski signed a bill that became the first state law in the country to protect both high school and college student media under a single statute. Oregon now joins six other states, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, and Massachusetts, that have passed student free expression laws for high school students. These laws, which some have dubbed anti-Hazelwood laws, have successfully limited censorship and shielded the free expression rights of students who have turned to them for protection. In effect, they give back to students essentially the same free speech protections that existed for the two decades prior to Hazelwood. We're still sometimes asked, however, how a state law, or for that matter, a local school district's protective student media policy, how those can trump a United States Supreme Court decision. In short, they don't. They exist independently. Hazelwood was a First Amendment case. Think of the First Amendment as establishing a floor of federal protection from government censorship. No government official, federal, state, or local, may ever act in a way, nor may lawmakers ever pass a law or policy that provides individuals with less free speech protection than that required by the First Amendment. That's why, for example, no public high school principal in the country can institute a policy that allows her to halt publication of any material simply because she disagrees with it. The First Amendment, and specifically Hazelwood, requires more than that. But anyone, where they believe the First Amendment provides insufficient protection against government censorship, anyone can raise the ceiling and establish a higher floor. And that's precisely what state lawmakers and school board officials have done in passing student-free expression laws and policies. Oregon student journalists, for example, can now look to both the federal First Amendment and the Oregon Student Publications Act for help. And Oregon school officials, whose actions might not violate the First Amendment, must now think twice before acting. That's because, unlike the often porous Hazelwood standard, the state law does not allow censorship except in those rare cases where student journalists have crossed established, well-defined legal boundaries. Unlike the other six states mentioned, however, Oregon's law includes a second part that protects the free press rights of Oregon's college student media. The law makes clear that student editors at Oregon's public colleges and universities are responsible for determining the content of their student media, not school officials. Now, that's exactly what the First Amendment currently requires in Oregon and the other 46 states outside the Seventh Circuit. The state law, however, now establishes a second line of defense for Oregon's college student media, and it should effectively shield them from any future court decisions, such as Hoste v. Carter, that might try and push the Hazelwood ruling onto Oregon's college campuses. Now, state laws protecting college student media are new. They simply weren't thought to be necessary before the 2005 Hoste decision, which changed over three decades of law that said college student editors were in charge. While that ruling only covers three states, that hasn't stopped some school officials elsewhere from trying to take advantage of it. California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was actually the first to sign a specific law protecting college student media last summer. Oregon was second. And at the end of August, Illinois, the home of Governor State University and the Hoste v. Carter decision, became the third. Governor Rod Blagojevich signed the College Campus Press Act on August 31st, after it overwhelmingly passed through the Illinois legislature. The law declares any student media outlet at a public college in the state to be a public forum for expression by student journalists and editors. That effectively nullifies the 2005 Hoste v. Carter ruling. The law also prohibits school officials from exercising prior review. The passage of the Illinois law was certainly welcome news. What's unfortunate is that it was ever needed in the first place. Hazelwood has taken an enormous toll on many student media programs and left a generation of future citizens with a warped view of the role of free speech and a free press in America. Fortunately, state student free expression laws provide students and journalism educators with a legitimate and effective means for undoing much of that damage. Well, that's the SPLC podcast for September 2007. For more information about today's topics, visit the SPLC website at splc.org. If you're a student journalist or advisor with a media law question, you can also call us at 703-807-1904. Thanks again to the Newspaper Association of America Foundation for its support of our podcasts. More information about their work can be found at naafoundation.org. I'm Mike Heaston. On behalf of the Student Press Law Center, thanks for listening. We value youth voices. We hope you do too.